though, we are quite a way through this series now, and as Louisa said, it's about we are who God says we are. I am who God says I am. And we need to know this. We need to know for, as Louise said at the start, it's we need to know it in the very fiber of our spiritual being. I like that. I'll steal that. Because out of that, it should shape our lives, shape how we choose to live. We've spent a few weeks looking at I'm a beloved child of God. I am a dwelling place for God's holy presence. I am made right in the eyes of God. I am a new creation. I am welcomed into God's perfect presence, as if you were here last week. Tonight is I am purposefully chosen by God. And then we're going to go on and look at doing good works and that we're blessed with gifts before a night of testimonies, which should be something to look forward to, we hope. So I think the more we agree with God's identity, then the more of us in Christ, then the more we should begin to reflect that God-given identity. I was at this morning's service when George preached, and I have to say, it's well worth listening to it online when it comes on. It was definitely a message for the church today, I think. He spoke about that we're saved by grace through faith, not cheap grace. So as we mature in our faith, we should strive to be more like Christ, and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, you know, as Colin's already spoken about, you know, we are a dwelling place for God's holy presence. So it was kind of a nice dovetail. So I just want to encourage you to listen to that. So this series is about God and his opinion, because it's his opinion that counts. And understanding who we are in Christ should give us a strong foundation to build life, a life lived on purpose. So tonight, we are going to look at, I am, you are, purposefully chosen by God. Have you ever, turn it on and it will move. So, have you ever really thought about that word though, chosen, before we look at purposefully, that you are chosen by God? That, as Louise says, God didn't look at Rebecca and went, oh, she'll do. Or Lois, yeah, she's nice. I'll choose her. Just, he chose you. He chose you for himself. But, so we're a chosen child of God. Is that once we say our yes to Jesus? Or are we chosen, at the point we said yes? Or are we chosen before? Was it before you took your first breath? Was it at the point that your father's seed and mother's egg combined? Or was it before creation itself? And have you ever really thought about that? I'm going to encourage you to, because it's absolutely mind-bending. As a biologist, it blows my mind that Psalm 139 tells us that he created my innermost being and knitted me together in my mother's womb. The psalm says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So does that mean that God chose the one sperm out of however many thousands to make up the starter material that became you, that became me? Because you weren't an accident. You were planned and chosen to be just who you are, just exactly who you are today. Two cells formed a single chromosome, had all the genetic wherewithal to create you. Something to think about when you look in the mirror and you don't like that feature, or that color hair, or It's a bit too curly. Because God chose you in when he created you. And you're his child and you are loved. But when did he choose you for himself? When did he decide you would become his adopted child? Well, you might be pleased to know that even the greatest theologians, the real brainy ones, the scholars, past and present, can't agree. So there are two theological doctrines that I know about. The doctrine of election or predestination, often referred to as Calvinism, or the doctrine of free will or Arminianism. I'm sure a lot of us will have heard the words free will mentioned a lot in and outside of church, our free will to make a decision. We use it in terms of God gives us the free will to believe or not believe, but predestination suggests otherwise. And no doubt there are those of you here who may fall into one of, I'd say, four camps, because I don't think there's just two in reality. Not for me anyway. Some may have wrestled with this and be confident that you know which you accept, the Calvin predestination or free will doctrine. Some, like me, haven't finished the wrestle, so flip from one to the other. Not quite sure, because the more I look at it, the more I may see one over the other. But if I'm honest, I don't like it. Or there may be those of you who haven't really thought about it at all. So, you may never feel the need to wrestle with this on any deeper level, because you simply believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins, paid the price so you don't have to. And that's because you can't, because only Jesus can. The starting point in our identity of a child of God as a carrier of God's holy presence, a new creation, is to understand that once, or maybe for some of you, you've not quite got there yet, God was not our father once, but the devil was. Because there's no gray area. We're either saved as a child of God or we're not. We sang about God is for us, not against us. But there's a point at which we become his. We become an adopted son or daughter. When we weren't a child of God, we were living in darkness until the light was offered by Jesus and we said our yes. In 1 Peter, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, as Louise reminded us, we are royal. We're also priests. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. One thing I know that I do believe is that God is an all-powerful, all-loving, but most of all to me, as I've been preparing for this, an all-sovereign God. And at the age of 37, I accepted Jesus Christ for me. And from that point on, I had a new father who had adopted me. I am now a chosen, beloved child of God. I've been chosen as a dwelling place for God's holy presence. I am chosen as someone who is welcomed into God's perfect presence. In choosing me, God has made me right in his eyes, not because of anything I've done, but because he chose me, and now I'm a new creation in Christ. Chosen, no accident. But, Jane, I hear you cry. John 3:16. God so loved the world, but he gave his one and only son, that whoever so believes in him will have an everlasting life. I'm sure many of you have heard that. So he loves everyone. God so loved the world. And I think we can all agree he absolutely does, because God is love and does all things from a point of love. Even his wrath comes from love. You see, to be chosen is to accept the invitation and do what's necessary to give up everything in this world. That is to say yes to the calling and follow it up with a faithful life as a disciple. No, it doesn't mean that I'm a better person as a Christian than non-Christians, but it does mean I know I'm fallen. I know I've done and continue to do wrong. But God calls us, and those who are chosen, who wholeheartedly accept the invitation, we're then called to grow and develop in Christ's costly grace. Again, a plug for George. George, he spoke about costly and cheap grace this morning. So again, I really encourage you to listen to him. You see, we're not just chosen, but we are purposefully chosen. And not by accident, but purposefully chosen kind of means an existence of purpose. Although very similar to purpose, purposefully kind of suggests more of a deliberate intent. So why are all not chosen? Because not many want to pay the price. This is what Jesus spoke about in the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew 22, which ends with, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." And also Jesus says in Matthew 7 that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Therefore, few choose this way. The reason it's hard is because we're called to step out of the world, to leave our egotism and our own ideas, opinions, thoughts and feelings, our own will and desires that are against God's, to follow the leading of the Master, Jesus. So in order to be chosen, we need to get to a place to really want that life, that chosen life with all our hearts. We can't hold back a little for the world, for the relationships, for our self-seeking. It does call for 100% obedience to Jesus and 100% faithfulness. But we also know we're a work in progress and a walk in progress. I just want to read to you from Ephesians 1, because this talks more about this thought of being chosen and predestined. "For he chose us in him, Christ Jesus, for the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure." So he made known to us the mystery which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him, we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until this redemption of those who are God's possession, to praise be his glory. So we're told here in the Bible, in the letter to the Ephesians, that there is something in this choosing, this predestined choice. But I don't see that I'm here to persuade you to believe in predestination, which, by the way, leads to double predestination, because if some are destined to be saved, then some are destined to not be, which explodes my brain, but also shows how hard that is as a doctrine to believe. Nor can I dismiss that in favor, or I can't dismiss being in favor of free will, such that we were only chosen by us first choosing him. And whichever one you go on to believe in can also then affect how you look at the possibility of losing our salvation, which again is for around the dinner table sometime and not for tonight. But I'm hoping that what we can agree with is that once we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and he died for our sins, he made a way for us to be with him and the Father for all eternity. So we are chosen. Whether you believe we're predestined or it was your free will, it kind of doesn't matter, because according to the Bible scholars, they can't agree. And it doesn't change the fact that, as George was preaching this morning, we are saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. But I do think it's worth wrestling a bit with that word, chosen. But now let's look at purposefully. Why were we purposefully chosen? What is that? What does that mean? Well, I believe we were chosen to be loved. Loved to the point of destruction and death. And because of that, we are to love him and to love others. So I've got a few scriptures here for us to look at. In Colossians 3, I'm using the Amplified version here, but we're told that we are chosen by God and we are holy and dearly loved. As it says, so as God's own chosen people, we are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well beloved by God himself. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper. In 13, it goes on to say, bearing graciously with one another and willingly to forgive one another if one has cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you should forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. And this is kind of about changes in behavior, maybe, that not because we have to, not because it's necessary for our salvation, but in order to love those around us better. But thankfully, we do have the Holy Spirit to help us do this. Because when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, I believe there's a spiritual transition. And as Dan and Laura spoke to us, we become that new creation in Christ because God is working through and in us. The next scripture comes from 2 Corinthians. It says, now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and who has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Spirit. It is he who has also put his seal on us, that is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his, and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, like a security deposit to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life. This again is referring to how we become a new creation in Christ through the receipt of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that causes those changes from the inside, the heart changes that we really need to make. Being chosen and bearing the holy presence of God means that we are basically chosen to bear fruit, as it says in John 15, again using the Amplified Version. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, as my representative, he may give you. This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. So we are purposefully chosen by God to receive his love, to give his love, to take it in and to give it out. And in Matthew 5, looking at the Message version, it talks about us being salt and light. It's about the fact that we are chosen and we say our yes. The Holy Spirit changes us, and God uses those changes, uses our heart attitude change, uses our words, uses our love actions to spread his flavor around the world. I'm sure many of you, and I certainly am one of those, became a Christian because of what I saw in someone else. Someone worked for me, and she was 10 years younger than me, but I had never seen so much calm, peace, gentleness, all of those lovely fruits of the Spirit. Didn't realize what they were at the time, but it drew me in because work wasn't always an easy place to be, but she still managed to stay that way. But it says here, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be a salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So why did God choose us? We're chosen because he wants us. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He has loved you since before time began. He chose you to give hope, chose you to represent him in holiness and truth. He divinely chose you to be the love companion for his son, Jesus Christ. He chose you to set you free, free from fear and intimidation. He chose you to display his glory. You are unique. You are one of a kind. And God has chosen you to be his simply because he is love, and he wants to love you. And what really came to mind as I was putting this together was the two greatest commandments: to love the Lord your God with everything, and to love one another as we love ourselves. And I think that's the bottom line of why we're chosen. We're chosen to love him, because he loved us first. And we're chosen to use that love that he bears down on us to love others, to show them God in this world. None of us deserve any of this. We know that. But he chose us. He's done the work at the cross. It's done. And he chose us because he loves us. Now, I don't know where people are here tonight with God or with things in life. But if you go away tonight, just remind yourself, if you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror, or if you can actually stand and look in the mirror, some of us can't. But look at that person looking back at you and know that they're a chosen child of God. Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. And it's good to come from a place of humility in that I don't deserve to be chosen. Why choose me? It kind of doesn't matter. He just did. He chose you. He chose me. And try and get that into your life. Walk around knowing that you're a chosen child of God, that you're redeemed, that you're saved. Because it should make us live differently. It should make us feel differently. It won't make everything go away. It won't put money in the bank. It won't cause us to have more Valentine's cards tomorrow than we can't count. Whatever. But the point is, the biggest Valentine gift was the day of salvation, the day you said your yes, the day you became a chosen child of God. Let us pray. Precious Holy Father, we thank you that you chose us out of darkness. We thank you that you have adopted us as your sons and daughters, that we are now heirs with Christ. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would do a work in people, the work that you want to see done, that you would calm the anxious, soothe the hurting, break the chains and swing wide the gates of those who are still in captivity. And remind us, Lord, of your love. Lord, would you pour out joy upon us? Joy to know that we are loved and chosen. And pour out courage on us to respond to this, however you need us to respond, Lord, individually. Holy Spirit, would you come? Help us to worship you as you deserve to be worshipped, from a place of joy, from a place of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.